Stand by. We're coming to you live.
Are we on the air?
The John Gomez Show.
Last time I checked, this was America.
We are citizens of an American nation.
Read my lips.
We're Americans.
Hear the people rule.
Together, we're going to do what has to be done.
I happen to have only one interest, and that is symbolized by the red, white, and blue of our glorious flag.
Welcome to America, amigo.
In the home of the brave.
We are the free and unconquerable people of the United States of America.
The John Gomez Show.
John Gomez here. Thanks so much for joining me. The other day, I caught an article in the New York Post. The headline, New York may help you save money. Anytime I see a headline about New York saving me money, it catches my eye. It reads, New York is among a growing number of states considering legislation to create government-sponsored payroll deduction retirement programs for small businesses. That's another red flag when it says legislation to create government sponsored. That means government paid for, which essentially means taxpayer paid for. That's me and you. Well, in order to analyze this issue and a few others, please welcome my good friend Dan Martin, CPA, Town of Babylon resident, former candidate for supervisor, and best of all, a Marine. Welcome aboard. How are you, Dan?
Oh, quite well, John. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, Dan. This is interesting. I wake up the other morning, I get the Post, very first page, headline, New York may help you save money. And then lo and behold, within, I don't know, an hour or two, you tend to copy me on emails that you send to the editor for Newsday. And sure enough, it's on the same issue. That headline, Dan, is going to catch my attention. New York may help you save money. And it talks about, it says New York is among a growing number of states considering legislation to create government-sponsored payroll deduction retirement programs for small businesses. Elaborate, Dan, if you will.
Well, what had happened is I read about this also in the press, and I said, let me contact my state senator because these people have a tendency to read the press releases and think everything is Bible in there. And,
who, by the way, is Phil Boyle, just for
Phil Boyle. And I haven't heard from Phil, by the way. But what it is, I sit and I think, okay, I'm a CPA, and I help small businesses across Long Island and actually outside of the state, too. For those companies that want pension plans, we could do anything from a 401k to something that is administratively easy called a simple IRA. And even if the company doesn't want to do that, and it's very cheap to do a simple IRA for a small business, there's still always an IRA. So I sit and I said, okay, they passed this thing. They said 3.5 million New Yorkers don't have access to it. And I said, wait a second. Everybody has access to an IRA. And then I thought for a moment, no, every citizen, every legal citizen has access to an IRA. Illegal aliens won't have access because they don't have Social Security numbers. That's one of the basic tenets. So why is New York State getting involved with something that any one citizen can work can buy by walking down the street to their neighborhood bank, any Chase Bank, any TD Ameri Bank, every bank sells IRAs at a minimum. I mean, you don't have to go to a Wall Street broker firm or something like that. So I wonder, where did this come up, and then what is the real long-term game plan? And I believe if they start this, if they get this legislation passed in a couple of years, the next thing you know, they're going to be forcing small businesses to pay for non-citizens, if you will, their pension plans, whether they like it or not. So I doubt if it's going to be voluntary, and the premise of their whole point is they don't have access. Nonsense. Everybody has access if you're a legal citizen.
You know what the sad commentary here is, or one of them, Dan, is by them reporting it, by the state or Albany stating that, what you just said, people just absorb it and believe it's true. I, you know, for example, as I'm reading it, you know, I scratch my head, but I'm not a CPA. You know, I'm not an accountant. And you take it for granted that, or you hope that it's being truthful in how they're proposing this stuff, but obviously they appear to have an ulterior motive.
Well, that's just it, and it won't be immediately evident by the premise of the sounds like it's great, you know, it's the next best thing since apple pie and motherhood, but the reality is these products already exist. Any citizen can participate in them, and I don't see why New York State has to compete with the private sector.
Right. You know, Dan, I'm curious how this New York State has even gotten into this this mode of trying to help or assist illegal aliens. I'm not talking about people who have immigrated here legally and, you know, did the right thing and came in. I have relatives who have. However, and this isn't necessarily a Democrat-Republican as far as the state of New York. George Pataki, a so-called Republican, at least he was first elected as a Republican. I don't know how he was reelected. Yeah. People can argue. But he's the one who gave, if I remember correctly, the in-state tuition waiver to illegal aliens.
I don't know if it was him. You could be right on that. I don't recall the history on that exactly. But the they come up with the means testing, and then somehow all of a sudden the schools aren't allowed to ask those relevant questions. Are you a citizen of the United States? And slowly but surely, this state is becoming closer to California in recognizing illegal aliens. I mean, I'm against it for my reasons. I mean, and I'm sure most of America is, because they voted for President Trump. But I don't understand some of these people's thoughts. And then I always go back, here's Andrew Cuomo leading the charge for this New York State pension plan program. And he's the guy who started the ball rolling with the fiscal crisis with the subprime mortgages when he worked for the Clinton administration. So he's the last guy in the world we want to take advice from.
People have a short-term memory, Dan. Dan, as a CPA, can you give us your take on Trump's tax plan and its impact? Because go ahead.
Well, it's anytime you give the government less money, that's good for society. I mean, that's Milton Friedman's old adage that you give a politician a dollar, he'll spend that plus something else on top of that. I feel that our emphasis as a country, and this is my own personal feeling, besides tax changes, is spending changes. I mean, this latest bill is going to cause havoc. You know, you can't even tax your way out of it. So this country's got to take a look at everything, but start with the spending. Forget about the taxes. I mean, it's approaching more of a flat tax than anything else. And I don't think it's going to hurt New Yorkers as much as the politicians are leading people to believe.
But isn't it amazing, Dan, how they come out, the Democrats come out as saying that this is a tax plan that hurts the middle class, hurts the working person, hurts the working families, when in reality, and specifically talking about the SALT deduction here on Long Island, if you take a look at it, you study it, it's, hey, wait a minute, the SALT deduction's hitting the 1%er. Percenters. It's not hitting the 99.
Well, not only that, there's something called, and this is another section of the law that Chuck Schumer seems to forget, the alternative minimum tax, which my clients who are in that 1% would really not even get a benefit from their state and local tax deductions, because that was an adjustment to pay a higher tax, thanks to Bill Clinton and some of his predecessors, for that state and local tax deduction. New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut were the three highest states in the union to be subjected to this weird tax called the alternative minimum tax, and it mainly affects people in high taxed areas. So they weren't getting much benefit to begin with, and with the drop in rates, I think some of the people will actually be surprised that their tax liability changes will be minimal. The people who will get hit are the people who make the ball players, anybody who makes over $1 million a year, because they're effectively going to be paying a much higher tax rate. One client I calculated about, I told him 48% of his money is his.
Right?
Because of federal and city, state items that are just going to have to flow right through. It's just the way the law is. So the one thing I can assure you, the rich, I hate to use the term rich, the high income achievers are not going to benefit from this tax law. They're going to pay a little bit more.
As far as the salt tax, Dan, is it reasonable to say that it is putting pressure back on Albany instead of the average Long Island citizen saying, listen, I'm no longer able to take the deduction of my high property taxes off on my federal taxes. Should you really be turning around to Albany and saying, hey, Albany, now that the federal government has relieved us of this or has taken this away, does it put the focus back on Albany saying, hey, wait a minute, Albany, why are you taxing us this high in the first place?
Well, they're taxing us because they have a very high employee costs, very high pension costs. And until we get rid of, we got to get rid of the civil service unions.
Is that possible, though? We say that year in and year out.
Not in this state. Not the way the brain trust is up in Albany, because the civil service unions are basically, Democratic helpers in the election period.
The amount of money they're able to give into these campaigns is just mind-boggling.
Well, most of the politicians are just looking at short-term gains.
That's all it is.
Get me to the next re-election cycle, and you got it. And the classic example is our boy Steve Ballone here on Long Island. The Suffolk PBA helped him get into office, and what did he do? He said, "Oh, this is going to save us money." Now we have over 1,000 cops earning over $200,000 a year, and that's just salary. That's not pension cost and medical benefits, accrued vacation days. You know, I always laugh. The cops have a nickname for it. They call it the scat pay. You know, when they put in their retirement papers, every day that they didn't take for a sick day, they get a bonus for it. They basically get paid. It could be 200 and some odd days going back to when they were just a patrol officer. Now maybe the guy's a lieutenant. So he gets 200 days pay as a bonus when he leaves for not using his sick time. And I defy, find me one private company in this country that does that.
I hate to beat a dead horse, but all I'm asking for, I mean, no one denies the hard work that police officers have. I certainly don't, putting their life at risk, at danger every time they go to work. But I'm just asking for reasonableness. Just be reasonable, as far as retirement benefits and so forth. And it just seems as though you let the politicians get the rein of it, and, the sky's the limit.
Well, the 50, 60, 70 years ago, we had civil service exams for these jobs. And I guess it was Robert Wagner who brought around the recognition of recognizing unions to help him in one of his elections. The son of Robert Wagner, the senator, who is infamous for his Wagner Act, which is the reason we have legal unions today. Because when you look at it economically, what's a union but a monopoly of one of the forces of labor? You're dealing with a monopoly, you're going to have to pay monopoly prices. It's that simple. Simple economics.
You know, before you go, Dan, if you don't mind, I'd love to get your take on, speaking of Steve Ballone, because there's no doubt in anybody's mind he's got his eyes on higher office, I would suspect. You've got Cynthia Nixon challenging Cuomo. I guess Ballone is sitting back seeing what's going to happen there. Where do you see the future of Steve Ballone?
I'm surprised he even got reelected, but, you know, he...
You're surprised he's not arrested. So am I.
Well, I know he's not arrested because first Spoda and now our current DA, Sini, won't touch this guy with a 10-foot pole for fear of political ramifications. The shame of it is that he got into office because Newsday covered up a story that one of their reporters knew quite well. I told you this, John. They spent time with me. I explained to him where all the lies were, where all the skeletons were, and the next thing you know, the story was buried because it would have ended his career.
Can you reveal the name? I mean, it's not you're not giving anything unless you don't.
The reporter?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Nick Spangler.
Nick Stengler, is he still with
He's doing Smithtown now, but he was a first-year beat reporter for Babylon, and I just sent a couple emails over to the editor, and I guess she sent him here to investigate, and within an hour, he knew beyond a doubt that Ballone was lying about tax cuts here in Babylon. In fact, I have an email from him confirming he's stating the boss wants a story on this, you know, and I'm like, great, Nick. I said, okay. And I never heard from him again.
Jeez.
Because as soon as the boss realized what was going to happen, somebody, one of the people at Newsday, pulled this story. And I know beyond a doubt he spent an hour with me. I explained to him, you know, the complicated accounting issues with government accounting. But once he realized how everything flowed, he said, holy, you know, blank, blank.
Yeah.
He is lying. You know, so.
Well, Dan, you know, with your efforts and some people, you know, on Long Island, the individual has to start taking a stand, digging in. And I know you do. I know you know your facts, and you're an honest broker. You're a great, honest citizen. You're a Marine, right? A Marine, right?
Yeah, right.
Marine. Dan, I want to thank you for your time. As always, I enjoy speaking with you, and I love talking to people who are just full of facts.
Okay, thank you very much.
God bless, Dan. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, bye.